Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to another week of Gee Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss. This week's guest is funny guy, TV writer, and co-host of one of my favorite podcasts, Sexy Unique Podcast, Sup, with Laura Marie Shanehall, Carrie O'Donnell.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for coming.
I'm so happy to be with you again.
Oh, I'm so happy to be with you.
I was thinking of like, unfortunately, like one of the only times we've ever like had like an extended hang where we like remember we like walked.
Yeah.
We had such a good like friend moment. We like walked.
We just like
all
walked
through Manhattan. Yeah. And like walked over the bridge, and it was like cold, and we were like, wow, like this is we're
New
living
York.
In New York.
Yeah.
New York.
We had like a latte moment. It was
we
like
did.
It was like an early November kind of like, ooh, like yeah, cozy, but like not like brick, so you could like be
no
outside.
Yeah, it was like one of my like nice New York friend memories.
Yeah, me too. And then we ran into each other in Times Square. Like one time we were like,
yeah,
hey.
You were like outside of, I think you were waiting for your husband or something.
No, I was waiting for a friend who like came into town, and we were like going to get like a classic New York slice, like at the Sbarro, like Michael Scott.
Yeah.
And you were coming out of Yahoo, I think, probably at that time.
Oh, yeah. I when I worked my stint at the Who. My stint under Marissa Mayer.
It is always
Queen Marissa.
Queen Marissa. Yes, Marissa.
Yeah.
It is always funny to run into like a New York pal in Times Square. It feels
yeah
like you've met up in like the
I know,
VR
you're kind
world.
Of like, yeah, you're kind of like, don't look at me. Because
yeah,
I mean, although I have to say, I worked in Times Square for a collective like 2.5 years.
Because mm-hmm,
then I worked at Logo, which was also like right in the heart of things,
right,
and
right,
in the Viacom building. And I feel like Times Square, it does get a bad rap. It's not as bad. It's terrible, but it's not as bad as like, I will say it, it's not as bad as the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, I was going to say, I worked at 30 Rock for like 2 years. So like, that's also like, come Christmas, like that's the worst place in the world. Like,
yeah,
I would take Times Square any day then swap it out with
yeah
working in 30 Rock in the Christmas season, where you're like just trying to get to the subway and everyone's like standing around taking selfies with the tree. Yeah, so
yeah,
I have had no big Hollywood Walk of Fame experience, only that I've been to the Trader Joe's over there. Tell me.
Oh,
did a big shudder just run through your body?
Well, okay, so I live, full disclosure, I live a few blocks from the walk of
oh
fame
my God,
like starts kind of like I walk out my door and I walk a few like one or two blocks, and I'm seeing like Mary Steenburgen's walk of
is your address Carrie O'Donnell, like Grauman's Chinese Theater, Los Angeles?
Yeah, I live at the Walgreens in Hollywood.
Don't you remember that you and Laura were doing a Sexy Unique podcast event in Hollywood like the first week Dan and I moved here? And I was like, we're coming. And at the last minute, I was like, we're so tired, like I cannot
yeah
leave the house. And you were like, don't worry, we're gonna do this all the time. And then we
I
never
know,
like it ended.
I know, because we were hosting these like once a month screenings of Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
at this place that's now closed.
Yes.
This nice like Soho House adjacent place,
right,
in Hollywood. And then yeah, you were like, I'm, and I was like, I totally get it. And then I was like, we're gonna have all the time in the
you
world
have
in 2020.
So much
and
time.
Then, and then we had our like fateful show at the Roxy.
That's right.
In on the Sunset Strip, like the night that Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks got COVID.
Yeah, that was you are forever part of history.
I think we were like the last show.
Oh, definitely,
like,
you were
one of the last shows at all in LA, which was so fucking crazy because we were like this little, I mean, it was, the Roxy was cool, but like we were just like, it wasn't like, we're not some like major player or something.
I want to say, I do want to say, for those of you who don't know, Sexy Unique Podcast, Laura Murray Shane Hall's sort of venture, started as a Vanderpump Rules recap and commentary. And it is one of the funniest podcasts ever. And at first, and I love Laura, like we've never met. I just love her work. I will say, like, one of the first times I listened to it, I was like, this episode's like 2.5 hours long. Like, what are we talking about? But it was honestly the most fun 2.5 hours. I laugh all the time. But what she did, what she ended up doing was she sort of spun out her brand to do like rewatches of different Bravo shows and like, you know, going into Real Housewives. And Carrie and Laura started doing what, in 2019?
I started coming on like as like a like she would have guest hosts, co-hosts come on to recap like Sex Unique podcast. Yeah. And then I started to Vanderpump Rules, and then I started coming on, and then we just kind of vibed, and
they spun off and they started doing a rewatch like kind of branch podcast called Sex Unique Podcast Tough Sicilian Bitches, which recapped the early seasons of Real Housewives of New Jersey, which is absolutely hands down my favorite television in the world.
There, you know way more about it than I, like, you were schooling me, like, in our text combos. I was just like, your knowledge of that show is like peerless, and you are I would say a scholar of Caroline Manzoisms.
Jolie Care and I are very much New Jersey Housewives people. We've seen seasons 1 through 5, especially. She's a big season 6 person. I'm not. Multiple times I can quote it. I could tell you like I could verbatim repeat every single episode back to you. But the best part of listening to you guys recap it is, A, I can see every single scene happening in my head, but your impressions of the housewives are spot on.
Yeah. They're good. They're pretty good.
Do your Caroline Man. Tell me about Caroline Man's on Caroline Rules 1 and 3.5.
We're having a good time in lockdown. It's all about family. And thank God all my chickens have come back to the roost. So I have all my chickens under one roof, and it makes me really happy. I gotta say, family. If you don't have family, you don't got nothing.
We listened to one yesterday. Also, it's a show that is a podcast that Dan loves. Like, we have a, and you know this because I'm always like, Dan and I are listening, and like, this is what's
I love
happening.
That I'm very happy that like we've got some straight male.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Some straight male listenership, because that's that means that I feel like I'm like puncturing the next dimension.
Yeah, exactly.
By doing that.
Exactly.
I know the girls and the gays are down.
Yeah.
But like, when you get that straight guy, like, I know what you're talking about. I'm like, okay, there is something here.
Yeah, no. I think it's you have such a great opportunity for diversity here. Like, yeah, Dan loves it. And if you guys are not, like, if you're looking for a, you know, 2021 choir activity, I cannot recommend more. It's on Hulu. Go watch Real Housewives of New Jersey and then pair it with the corresponding Tough Sicilian Bitches podcast episode, because it is like, it is such
joy. I really, you know, and we're recapping Salt Lake City right now,
right?
Which has been sort of like a up and down journey for me personally. Mm. And I know Laura's both the same, but like, it doesn't have like New Jersey. Those early seasons of like New Jersey, they were so non self aware of like social media,
yeah.
and the fame, and yeah. they all had egos, but like they weren't so aware of their brands yet, and I just feel like
that's right.
I'm worried about the future of the franchise, because now it all feels so like
concocted.
Everyone's being careful and concocted, and like they're all playing into the characters that like the gays on Twitter love, and like mm-hmm. I'm seeing Danielle Staub walk around with the bodyguard. Like, you're not gonna get that ever again. Like, you're not gonna get.
You're never gonna get Caroline Manzo going, We fight big, we love big, and we make up big.
But also, I mean, I guess like I don't know if you've watched Real Housewives of Dallas.
I haven't, but like it's on. So Dallas has not infiltrated into my life yet. And I started Salt Lake City. But I have to tell you, and I haven't been listening to you and Laura's recaps because I like to wait until I've done the whole season because then it sort of feels like its own reunion. The first episode had me. And for those of you who haven't watched Salt Lake City, like it literally starts like 20 minutes in. One of them is screaming at the other because one said the other smelled like hospital. And
no, it was the first. It was I'd say maybe one of the best of all time first episodes of a house. Like you don't get better than Mary.
Like out the gate.
Like it was probably top five first episodes,
because definitely
even the now like stalwart franchises were all shitty in the first.
Oh, of course. I mean, they were all just getting their sea legs.
But this was like, wow! Like
you told me, you smelled like hospital. Wow.
You told me you smelled like hospital, and then someone who fucked their grandfather.
Yeah,
like, you don't get
that.
You don't get better. And there's like the Mormon thing going. Like it was just so like, whoa! Like this whole world right. that I'm so ignorant to.
Have you found my opinion is that that's a very high note to start on, and I fear for Salt Lake City that it is sort of like an Icarus, and that like it is going to, it cannot, if you start that high, you know, there's only so many glass ceilings you can break above you.
Yeah, I'm worried too. I mean, the last episode Whitney brought it, and she brought it back to like, okay, maybe there is hope, but I agree with you. I think it was like, I almost am like, if you had just given me the first episode, I would have been happy.
Yeah, that's all I wanted.
I just wanted people telling each other that they smelled like hospital and like cult leaders and grandpa fuckers. Like, you do not get any more outrageous.
Yeah.
Now it's like, too much Brooks, not enough Mary, not enough, you know.
Mm-hmm. Too much Whitney's dad.
Too much Diane Warren.
Exactly. The entire first episode of Salt Lake City was as if you were watching one full season, like the first full season of.
Yeah, I think that's maybe what it was like. A little bit. It felt like they'd crammed in like weeks of shooting in one episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was going to say there is a character, now she's gone because she was fired for her, you know, fairly overt racism.
They all fall.
Leanne Locken.
So who is Leanne Locken? I know that name.
She kind of had that Danielle Staub like chaos. And then at the end, she was like repulsive with her racism against Mexican people. So like at that point, you were like, I can't even like, please get off my screen.
Mm-hmm.
But she is a socialite in Dallas, or now a fallen socialite in Dallas, who isn't rich, but like moves in those circles and like is able to get rich people to spend money on charity. So she's like a real like operator and like is very social, and everyone knows about her. And she's, you know, batshit. Like she's completely unhinged, and she grew up on a carnival. Like she's a carny. Which is one of the craziest backstories of, I maybe the craziest backstory of any housewife, is that she literally grew up in a carnival.
No one has ever been able to convince me to watch Dallas, but I think you just did it.
The first two seasons were Leanne, like it's a pretty wild ride. Now she's gone and they brought in, there's now a new season and it's like during COVID, and some of them feel like they're maybe COVID deniers.
Great.
But Leanne is completely like, she is so fascinating to watch in the first few seasons, and then she crosses into like unforgivable territory, but like in the, it's like, oh my god, it's wild. She brings the Danielle energy that like
I miss itch. That
scratches that itch.
The Danielle energy I miss, like we had talked about a few things that we wanted to cover today, and I want to make sure that like we'll tack on to this. I want to talk to you about the scenes. Well, we were talking about the Sex and the City movie yesterday a little bit, because Dan and I went out for a drive and we were listening to an old episode of Tough Sicilian Bitches, because it's like one of the only things we can agree to listen to together. And it's
so amazing.
It's always haunting to listen to the ones that are like around this time last year, where you guys were like, I am so ready for 2020. It's going to be amazing. Oh. Ready for a new decade. Like the last decade was nuts. Like what could happen this decade? And we're always
Then Laura's And then Laura's psychic like predicted COVID.
Yes.
Then we started delving into like curse territory, I feel like.
Yeah, you guys have like there's something like happening in the Tough Sicilian Bitches universe that like predicted what we have seen unfold in our country in the last year or so.
Yeah.
I was listening to you and you guys were talking about the iconic scene that lives personally in my head rent free of the Sex and the City movie, the New Year's Eve scene, mm-hmm. with Carrie and Miranda. And I was laughing because that scene, I think, is revered by like so many people. Like it's,
yeah,
the song is so pretty, the version of Auld Lang Syne that they pick is so pretty, it's a nice moment of friendship, but everyone kind of like forgets the way it starts. And so I kind of want to bring that up because I feel like people know that scene, people love that scene, people listen to that version of that song around New Year's. Let's get into it. I think about the scene constantly.
Can we talk about Carrie's outfit first
of
all?
Yes.
So she wakes up in the dead of night, aka like it's like 9:30. Right. She's like in a depression sleep.
She tried watching Meet Me in St. Louis, but turned it off after 3 minutes. Yeah.
She tries watching because her assistant, Jennifer Hudson, tells her to watch it, or like she's like, I'm gonna try, and she just can't.
Yeah, she's like, the trolley song comes on, she's like, fuck, like no.
Yeah. So then she's asleep, it's snowing, she's like, fuck, I'm not riding into 2004 or 2008 or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And Miranda calls her and Carrie, wait. She wakes up, she's wearing like, what is she wearing? Like a silk flat, like under.
There was jewelry, she had like jewelry on.
She was wearing a huge string of pearls to bed. Which is like, is that a hazard? Is that a superstition? Yeah, is that a hazard? Is that a choking hazard? But also, like, Sarah Jessica Parker was like, I'm going to wear these. Like, Carrie would, I feel like she was like, that is like an actor's choice moment where she was like, I think Carrie would do this.
Right.
And they were like, sure, whatever.
She's like, I want to put my own little, you know, like spin on Carrie.
My Carrie spin.
And she's so asleep. She wakes up, the ringing of the phone.
Her giant phone, her home phone. And then Miranda, we cut over to Brooklyn. Or no, right?
Yeah, we cut to Brooklyn. Miranda's eating, you know, you kind of hear Dick Clark in the background. She's eating her lo mein. And Carrie picks up, she's like, hello? And Miranda's like, isn't it fucked up? Like, I'm alone on New Year's Eve and I'm eating Chinese food and I'm by myself and like, I feel crazy. And the first thing that Carrie says is,
I was sleeping. It's like
Carrie can never get it up for a friend.
Yeah, it's like, first of all, it's not that uncalled for to be calling.
Not New Year's Eve.
9:30 on New Year's Eve. Some people are just going out in New York, and Miranda's like she's been in a recent separation. Like, give her a break.
Yeah, be like, oh hi, like hide your yawn. Yeah, I was sleeping. Miranda's like, I'm upset. Like, I'm so upset and lonely. And Carrie's like, I was sleeping.
She's like, I'm sorry. I'll let you go back. No, no. Is everything all right? Do you want me to come over?
No. It's fine.
Brandon's literally looking out the window like that into the void, and her eyes are so wide, and she's like, this is a woman on the edge. Like, she is like,
that's right,
sitting there like, I'm sorry. I'm alone right now, and I just think it's crazy. We're in the New Year's Eve and I'm alone. And it's like, and if I heard the tone in that voice and one of my best friends, I'd be like, getting there right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And Carrie's like, well, Carrie does that thing where it's like, I definitely don't want to come, but I guess I'll politely ask. And I like really hope you say no.
Yeah. And then Miranda's like, obviously, because Miranda's Miranda, she's like, no, it's okay. It's fine. I'll just like stew in myself.
I'll just eat this little man.
And Carrie hangs up and then she puts her hand back on her pillow and she's just thinking for a minute. And then you just see her get up. And then we cut to her running down her brown, her fake Upper East Side brownstone, and she's in a turban.
She's got like a sequin turban on, like from St. Mark's place. Hold on, I'm googling the cut of her exact outfit. Yes, she's somehow both gotten dressed and not gotten dressed.
Yeah, she's wearing her like flannel pajama pants, her little silky blouse, mm-hmm. and
I'm looking right now.
Giant mink, giant fur coat, yeah. pearls.
Yeah,
her white gloves. Is she wearing heels or boots?
She's wearing white boots in the snow. Right. Okay, so she's wearing white boots in the snow. She's wearing like a huge mink. She's wearing her like I literally have that pajama outfit set from Target. She's like sporting that, but like with a pearl, and then a sequin hat that like looks deranged now. But if you try to imagine what you were wearing in 2008, you're like, mm-hmm, yes, I remember. And and then she's like, oh, like taxi, like, oh, it's New Year's Eve, I can't get a taxi. Does she take
taxi? South Brooklyn?
I think they show her coming up on the, I don't know, but she either takes the A or the F. Well, no, Miranda lives in, where does Miranda live in Brooklyn?
Park Slope.
Oh, she lives in Park Slope. Okay, so she takes the ACE or she
New York talk.
Yeah, New York chat. Subway. Well, yeah. Carrie allegedly takes the subway, but you only see her popping out of it. So you're not really like totally sure.
But that's the first time you ever see Carrie take the subway.
Yeah, or acknowledge that it exists.
I don't think she, in the entire series, because I just rewatched it with my boyfriend recently, and she, I don't think at once in any of the six seasons does she take the subway.
No.
Which is the most, probably the most, other than her like finances and her ability, her like home, like the most unrealistic thing about that show is that she not once takes the subway.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, on a long list of unrealistic. A long list. Yeah, but no, you're obviously. Right. I mean, Sex in the City, like Sushi Samba.
Yeah, right. So she comes up and she's, you know, it's snowing. Snow has gotten harder. It's almost midnight, like really, really close, like counting down. And then, she climbs up the icy stairs of the Miranda's brownstone and knocks on the door. Bzzz, ding, ding, ding. And then Miranda opens it. And then Carrie goes, "You're not alone."
Carrie gets to be the hero.
Yeah, to be the hero, like truly, like great. You did. You were a good
bare
friend.
Minimum, Carrie. And bare minimum. Oh, I was sleeping. Oh, Miranda, is that you? Carrie literally could never take a second. You know, Stanford's like, I met someone, and Carrie's like, Stanford, shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
You're talking about me right now.
Stanny, I'm having a crisis. Like, we never get to...
I'm having a bit of a crisis right now.
Well, speaking of Sarah Jessica Parker, I loved watching E cover the coup in only a way that E could.
Oh, yeah.
Which was dramatic AP Caroline photos.
Caroline tipped me off to... Because E, they're... I've, like, unfollowed and followed them before. Like, they are so unhinged that, like, it's almost... too much for me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Their Instagram like mock-up images with like quotes or like they are so insane.
And
their captions are like throughout all of 2020 it was like it was an abomination.
This took it to another level. This was Jolie on my team messaged it to me first and was like, I can't tell if they're kidding. And I looked at it and I was like, this is a Carrie O'Donnell tweet if I ever saw one. And it's literally like dramatic AP photos of the coup and then like italicized reactions from stars. So it was like, how in God's name? What in God's name? Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch. And they were bold. Certain
phrasings in that, yeah. And Sarah Jessica Parker like, had one.
Unspeakable, unimaginable, un-American. And then one of them was Chloe Grace Moretz saying, "This is not America." And I loved Chloe Grace Moretz making the cut.
Yeah, Chloe Grace Moretz like weighs in. This is not America. Chloe.
Chris Evans. It is. Like, I'm speechless.
Yeah, I'm speechless, Chris Evans.
And then Pink was like, as someone who's related to service people, like, I'm offended. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, thank you.
Like, I kind of, like, I'm, like, I to be a fly on the wall in the E Slack that was like, okay, well, we have to, like, put something up, I guess. Like, what should we take?
They couldn't have just, like, gone. I mean, they couldn't have just either not commented or just like done it without the, like they were like, we have to report on this, but we have to put our spin, or what's our e spin, right. And some like assistant or like intern was like, well, we could just put quotes together.
Jane Lynch reacts to the coup.
How in God's name?
What in God's name? Jane Lynch. Looking at that in the context of also like sitting in front of my TV for like, I watched TV on Wednesday. So this, we are now day 4 out of the coup. We're recording on Sunday the 10th. So I watched TV on Wednesday, and you know, in LA, it started at 11:30 here. We got a really early run, and I turned off the TV once they started putting together the packages that were like, it started at 2:30 on the Capitol steps rallying. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay, so they're now showing me a packaged, you know, segment of like what I've already watched. So I'm done for the day. But like, that was that was horrifying to watch. It was so confusing. I was trying to figure out, you know, like who on social media I'm following and like who's reporting the right information. And okay, someone just tweeted this, but like, is the caption correct? What time was it?
Right.
And then all of a sudden you get E being like, Sarah Jessica Parker says unthinkable.
Unthinkable. Unimaginable. And she wrote it on her Instagram in her like standard like poem form.
Her like prose.
I have to say, some of her prose is, I would read a book by her.
Do not put that idea out in the world.
I think she had me crying last year in the fall, maybe just because I was like, this just shows my quarantine brain, but like she posted something about New York and I started crying. I did. I got
I was
emotional.
No, I so
I
get
like,
it.
I was like, I'm in New York. But
I get it.
The CNN, like, now they're doing like, retrospectives on something that happened 4 days ago. Like, they were advertising for like tomorrow at 10, Trump's insurrection, you know, and it's going to be like, they're going to have like talking head probably. And
yeah, it's like, it's the 2 day anniversary of the storming of the.
First of all, this happened 4 days ago. We might not even be done with the coup.
We're definitely not done.
Not going to like CNN packaging and like it's getting crazy.
I have yet to see a story about how long those hotel reservations were made for. Like, are we finished? Like, have these people gone home?
Also, like, I have to be really honest. Like, at this point, from watching the last CNN, which I'm going to continue watching because it's
course,
just like
obviously,
but from watching the way just the performative, like, you know, I wanted to be an actor, but I became a journalist kind of nature of like Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon, like they're not much different than E.
No,
like when it comes to like reporting on that, like they're not the absurd almost camp levels of like there's really no difference at this point.
Yeah, it was I was furious watching, especially because like you've worked in newsrooms before and I've worked in newsrooms before, and like the amount of, you know, these 24/7 news cycle talking heads like a Cuomo, a Maddow, Chris Hayes, you know, Joe Scarborough or whatever, but like the amount of people who were like, it's and we're looking into why, you know, the police were not on top of this the way they were, like pretending, like not saying what we all know, which is that, like, you know,
they're teasing, it's all like it's crazy.
They're
but...
like, where were the police? Were they tired? Did they not know this was?
Yeah.
There was one especially obnoxious moment watching the coverage where it was where someone was talking to a lawmaker, a representative, and I don't know who, and I will look it up. But they were saying it was horrible. It was a heartbreaking interview. She was like, I came to work today and I told my husband, like, this is where my will is. And like, this is where, you know, if something happens today. And whoever was doing this interview was like, did you have a premonition? It's almost you had a premonition. It's like, you know what? They've been telling us they're coming. Like, this wasn't like a surprise. Like, this was planned.
It's like when Nancy Grace was to Elizabeth Smart was like, could you see with that like thing on your head? Remember?
Yes.
How'd you see out of that thing? And Elizabeth Smart's like, I'm actually here to talk about like a bill to protect like abused children in America. And Nancy Grace's like, I'm sorry, sweetheart. I thought it would help the viewers to get a little insight into where you were in that headspace as a 12-year-old.
Nancy Grace.
Like, I'm not here to talk about this.
Oh my God, Nancy Grace. Another cultural.
How'd you see with that thing on? Like, I remember watching it and being like, oh my, I think I watched that live. I was like, holy shit.
Am I seeing what I'm seeing?
Yeah, am I seeing it? But like, it's that kind of shit. Almost like you had a premonition.
Almost like you're a clairvoyant.
Yeah.
You had a feeling and that feeling came true. It is a, what a day. You know, now we're in 2021. Just 1 week ago, people are saying, well, you know, it can't get any worse.
I know. And I'm also like,
who was saying that?
I was just prepared for, like, we should have known better. When people started treating 2020 like it was a person that was like responsible for all this stuff, it's like, that's when I knew. I mean, I've done it too, but like when you start equating a year, giving it like personhood, that's when you know
you're going down.
You're in four.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What kind of I know you visit CVS often. You and I have both sent each other pictures where there's a little bit of like a blurry 7-Eleven logo in the background, like whatever we're doing.
For sure.
What kind of coronavirus COVID time shopper have you been? Like where has your money been going?
Okay, so I'm admittedly like addicted to CVS. Like I think I'm a habit, you know, I'm in recovery and I think it's one of my like habit addictions is going to like a pharmacy. I just, there's something about it that just feels like, especially in this time when my radius of leaving has been so small that like I really get attached to, like, there's a WeWork near me that I get attached to just walking by it, like the logo, and the CVS on Hollywood Walk of Fame is just like my place.
Okay.
So usually I'm trying to be better about candy, but usually I would get Mike and Ike's. I get like, I should be going for bulk, but I go for daily, like just instant fix.
Mm-hmm.
But normally my quarantine stuff goes to like household cleaning stuff and like, I love Fabuloso multi-purpose with hydrogen peroxide.
Love that.
I get like huge liters of those or whatever. And I am very, because we're, me and Simon are just inside all the time, like everyone else. So I just want it all to smell.
You need everything to be clean. I know. I felt like I've been cleaner.
Yeah. So I've just been very into like, wiping, you know, Mrs. Myers.
Love to into wiping, of, yes.
Into wipe, lots of Mrs. Myers cleaning products, candles. When I'm feeling, you know, wealthy in spirit, I'll go and get a Diptyque candle.
Love
from
that.
Candle Delirium and WeHo, which is a great place. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've been.
I haven't been anywhere. I've been to Sur and that's it. And we all
right. Well, when things get better in LA, which is not going to be for a while, you should go to Candle Delirium.
That's my first stop after the vaccination. Like, take me to Candle Delirium now.
Yeah, mostly like cleaning based and just things that make me feel.
You're doing some nesting.
Nesting, very much nesting stuff. Not really like food stuff. More like domestic stuff.
Yeah, like let's make the house a home.
Yeah.
Now, tell me a little bit about your relationship with the My Favorite Aisle at CVS, which is the As Seen on TV aisle. Do you fuck around with that?
Not really. What would be...
Oh, my God. Like, it's just, like, stuff that, like, was probably on like, an episode of Shark Tank that didn't air. Like, that's the only way I can describe it. It's like, don't you hate flipping your burgers? Like, isn't this thing that's, like, not really a problem for you, like, kind of a problem? Like, here's a fix, and like, it costs, like, $6.
Like shelved things.
Yeah, like, the Snuggie would fall under that, I think.
Oh.
Or, like,
I don't really fuck with that aisle.
Okay. That's interesting because that's I beeline there in CVS.
I should. I feel like I will start to now, but I mostly go straight to cleaning.
Wow.
Or the candy aisle.
Tell me about a cleaning product that has just been such a disappointment to you. Something that you were like so excited about, something that you were feeling really good about. Simon, oh my God, the CVS had this. I'm so excited and was just useless. I know I'm putting you on the spot.
No, I'm going to have something did enrage me last year. How about something I've used before, but then turned on?
Okay. Yes. Yes.
I'd say Pine Sol.
Okay, tell me more.
I like Fabuloso multi-purpose because it has kind of more of a muted smell, and it smells just like cleaner and like more, it's less like sweet and like the normal Fabuloso is like almost it's like oppressive a little bit.
Okay.
And Pine Sol really was always my go-to, and then in this time I just became really hyper aware of smells because I was just smelling it all the time. And I think Pine Sol really became like unbearable to me. Like if I had I started reacting really had this kind of visceral reaction to it where I felt like oppressed by it. It felt too much. It was too, it stung me kind of.
Wow.
And I really turned my back on Pine Sol, and I'm never going to be a Pine Sol girl again.
Now, just to confirm, like, is Fabuloso paying you for this appearance?
No. And if they'd like to be, if they'd like to, I'm all about it.
Yeah, okay. Fabuloso, if you're listening.
Please. No, this is all, like, I'm fully, like, doing this out of the, because I love it.
You're a good consumer. Now, do you fear, though, because of your love of Fabuloso and the volume at which you purchase it and the speed at which you use it, do you ever fear that when you are like an elder and your niece and nephew ask you about this time and you smell the smell of Fabuloso, will you be transported back to a pandemic?
Probably.
Great.
I mean,
this is going to be
like,
your smell like hospital moment. I mean, this is your salt. Like it will be like, I don't, you know, how dare like you say I smell like Fabuloso. That was a very rough time for me.
My niece and nephew are going to like show me their like first apartments or something when I'm like in my 50s, and I'm just going to smell it and be like, and like have to like leave. And they're going to be like, Uncle Carrie, what's wrong with you? But yeah, Pine Sol is just like,
you turned on it.
Makes me want to throw up.
That's so interesting. I'm a method spray all purpose kind of gal, but I will say that what I loved most about the beginning of the pandemic, and it has sort of calmed because now we've been doing this for like a year, but like when all the cleaning products were like flying off the shelves, like no one wanted like the green products anymore. Like everyone wanted like straight bleach. Like give me bleach or give me nothing. So I was always fine having the method stuff, and then I use a little Clorox. But I think even the smell of hand sanitizer already is like stirs something in me.
There's certain ones that are just like repulsive.
Mm-hmm.
Like you really become sort of like a connoisseur of sanitizer, and I just give me this the normal straight up ones.
Yeah,
because like the more maybe eco friendly ones kind of smell bad.
Yes. Have you made any impulse like big purchases maybe like influenced on Instagram, or like did you get into any of the, you know, early quarantine trends, Animal Crossing, bread, knitting?
Well, I've been using Hims a lot.
Oh my god, another spawn. Okay,
right? I've been on Propecia for a few years now, but now I'm like supplementing it with Hims, and it's actually like, I mean, Propecia's helped me a lot.
Your hair looks great.
Thank you. But it wasn't like bald. I was just like thinning and like had a receding hairline.
It looks very lustrous and thick.
But I think it's Hims.
How long does that take to work? How long does something like that kind of process take?
It takes a minute. Mm-hmm. I think you start noticing with Propecia after a few months, but really when you, to achieve your full, this, I'm a fucking psychopath. Listen to me talk about this.
I love this.
You achieve your full, like, it takes fully like 2 years probably.
But I mean, that's such a long commitment time. Like those are, you know, and everything's always marketed to us as like quick fix or like overnight. So I feel like it's been a real dedication for you.
Yeah, maybe it's been sooner, but I really feel like I've been noticing it more because I haven't been able to get my hair cut a lot.
Right.
So I think just letting it grow out, I'm like, oh, it's actually.
It looks like, very really like, there. It looks like you have, like, looks like something you have to deal with. Like, oh, like all that hair. Mm. Like, I gotta like deal with all my hair now.
I was, you know, I think any man worries about balding, but I think especially being a gay man, it's like a, you know, and probably a stereotype, but like I'm like afraid. It's like
you fear it.
I fear it, and it's like I have to, you know, being a gay man, even if you're not in acting, which I'm not an actor, but like you want a book.
Mm.
You know, so like if you're not Gotta get the hair right.
It's so weird. I didn't know that.
And I'm like, I feel like people are like weird about talking about being on it. And I feel like I've seen more people being open about it. I'm always talking about like my hair journey and like being afraid. Like,
right. I know. I've heard you.
My receding hairline and like how I was balding a little. And like, I'm fully like it's part of like my, you know, it keeps me, it's part of my anxiety.
It keeps big Xanax in check. Yeah. Well, that's so funny because like we talk about like, you know, bodies and diet culture here a lot. And it's like I have never been exposed to whatever culture is being like targeted at you and gay men that say like losing your hair is like bad. Whereas like I'm very familiar with like the don't gain weight, like you need to work out, which I know is present in gay culture too. But like it's very fun. Like, you know, when we were younger, it's like, well, whatever magazine you picked up, like that was what you were told. But now there's just all these avenues for them to come stress us out about our dumb bodies.
Yeah. Or weird bodies that no one has like any control over, really.
I know.
But, I think it's a guy thing, but I think it actually like, I think.
No, it's the same way as us being told.
They make men terrified. Like everyone's terrified of going bald, no matter what your sexual, your whatever, however you choose to identify, or like it's everyone's afraid of going bald.
Well, they've hammered that into us that that's like a bad thing.
I think, but I also on the flip side, I think you can be super. It doesn't matter if you're bald because you can be super sexy.
Look
bald.
At George, Joe Gorga. I mean,
or Corey Stoll, or like, you know, there's all these like. I'm very attracted to guys who are bald.
No,
too,
and that's so the problem. And I mean, for women, it's like the size of your waist, you know, in contrast with the size of your hips, or the size of your boobs. And like that's grained into us. But then you like just see someone who like doesn't have what's deemed like the proportions, which is literally everyone. And you're like, oh, she's hot, or like, oh, she's like really pretty. And then you're like, wait a minute. Like, so wait, why do I think my waist has to be this small?
And I'm not like saying it's bad to be. I think I'm just saying I'm being honest.
That's
about,
your
like,
thing.
What,
that's your but thing.
But I'm being also honest about like how they've instilled fear in it.
Sure.
But then you realize like it's not a bad thing, and there's super sexy guys with who are bald.
Well, I mean, I said Joe Gorga, who is Melissa Gorga's husband on Real Housewives of New Jersey, also, you know, Teresa Giudice's brother, Joe Gorga, you know, he starts out, you know, trying to make his hair loss work. And then over the next few seasons goes to being bald, like just like shaves it so hot.
So hot.
So like he's, hot.
You know, and he rocks it, and he just like, he knows
sexy.
He's hot.
I mean, he definitely knows he's hot.
So it's like, it doesn't, it's all,
I know, it's all
I'm just being, it's all, I'm being as honest as I can.
Yeah, it's a thing for you. That's a thing.
Anxiety, but
absolutely. I just want to know, you are beautiful, you know, like we are all beautiful, but you are the most beautiful.
I'm getting out of here. Thank you. I can't hear. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you so much.
So I know that you didn't come here to talk about Fabuloso, though it seems kind of like you might have. What product specifically did you bring? Oh, are you going to get it? He is just, oh my gosh.
Okay, so I got it for Christmas from my mom, and it's like it's basically like, it's like a flat, like a, I can't even describe it. It's like a flap scarf thing.
So when I Googled it, for context, I texted Carrie this morning before we record, and I go, do you want to tell me what you're bringing, or do you want to be a surprise? And he goes, should I bring a massage flap? Yeah. And I was like, I don't, by description alone, yes, bring it.
Has, I guess the name just brings up a lot of questions.
Okay, so it's like a wrap.
It's a wrap. You put your hands through these like kind of handles right here, and you have to plug it in. It's kind of annoying because you need to have it like plugged all the time.
Very Brookstone.
Yes, and then you.
Yep, you hit. There's like a button panel on the side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then so it's like a massager that like you wrap around. Yeah. Oh, people love this stuff.
Yeah, and it feels, you can like bring it on a plane probably, or like,
who's going,
you know,
on planes?
I know, who's going on whenever we can fly again, but it's really, it's like, because I have like a lot
I can see it moving.
Yeah, it's really good. And I have a lot of neck issue. I'm like QVC right now. I have a lot of neck issues. Like I was getting my neck, my spine kind of corrected because my posture was so terrible. And so I've been in need of a chiropractor all year, and this is helping me.
I love that. Yeah, we have talked about this, not on the show, but like on Instagram. Some people have said like this is the thing that they love. Does yours have heat?
It does.
Ugh,
yeah, you press. Yeah, so there's heat. There's some. It's a little painful sometimes.
Well, like, yeah, I mean,
you know, but it's really nice, and you can just do it while watching Salt Lake City Housewives, while watching Sex and the City movie. Just sit back and let the
good times go.
Let the flap help you.
I mean, famously, my physical therapist, similarly, you know, how they sometimes feel for like a tension point. My physical therapist said, I've never seen a body this tight. You have no muscles that are not tense right now. And I was like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I have a lot of people to thank to get me here. Do you know how expensive the massager is? I know you got it as a gift, so maybe it would be uncouth to Google, but do you know about the range?
I don't think they're that expensive. Mm-hmm. I think.
And what brand is yours?
Really quick. I don't even know. It's called Napo.
It's the Napo one. Okay, that is the one that gets a lot of circulation in the Instagram, G Thanks Instagram and the G Thanks page. And I'm so happy to hear that you love it.
$60.
That is
$59.
That's the price.
If you can shelve it, that's a lot for me right now, but like if you can shelve out $59.99, it's worth it. And like what else are you gonna do?
Right, exactly. And you're not going to get a massage right now. Like I really hope.
Yeah.
So that's great.
You get your bang for your buck with us.
Has Simon tried it yet too, or do you not share? Does he like it?
He has. He's maybe more sensitive than I am on with like shoulder stuff, and I'm like tear into me. Like I have him crack my back and stuff. So my threshold for it is like high, but he's maybe more reluctant to do it, but uh-huh. he has liked it though.
That is very similar with the one of the gifts Dan got me for Christmas, which is, and I've mentioned it briefly here, but it's like a body pillow, and it's like marketed to pregnant women, but literally anyone with a body could have it. And it like, you know what those, you know, they like wrap around your whole body and you can like spoon them, or like it just makes it so that you don't wake up like all mangled.
Oh my God, I need this.
Oh, you need it. I'm going to send you a link. It is so, but I just like drag mine to the couch every morning. It's like very comfortable.
So are you like, do you step inside it?
Yeah, I'm going to G-chat you. No, you don't step inside it. I'm going to G-chat you the link so you can see.
Okay.
But we were talking about it briefly on the listener episode where we were like, it's the company has done themselves a real disservice by just marketing to pregnant women, because literally they can make so much more money.
Yeah, why is this not?
I know, it's weird. More... Okay, let me show you. This isn't the exact one I have, but this is the. I'm just showing so you can see. Is there like a chat in the podcast? Oh yeah. Oh yeah, there is. Okay, see at the top right. Okay. Yeah, over here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Over here.
That's me. Okay, look at it and tell me.
I love that they're like, you only deserve comfort if you're pregnant. Oh my God.
Right. It's so comfy. And similarly, it's in the same price point as the Napo massager. It's like between $40 and $60, depending on which one you get. And especially, I was going to say, if you have like a back thing like I do, where you need a little bit of, I mean, that's the whole point of it for pregnant women is like, oh, your body's changing and all of a sudden you're carrying this whole human and like things are going to start to hurt. So let this help you. Yeah. Like I'm carrying the weight of the world. So I need a pillow too.
You deserve a body pillow too.
Everyone does. And also it's like if your partner isn't like a spooner, which mine isn't, and like
that's totally fine.
Yeah, like I just use the pillow and everyone's happy.
Yeah.
No one gets bothered.
I'm investing in this because I think it looks great.
It is so comfortable. And it was funny. I didn't say anything and to anybody on the show about this. And then a listener called in for the listener episode and she was like, I need to recommend like this pregnancy pillow. I am not pregnant. I'm not planning on getting pregnant, but this is like the most comfortable thing I have. And I had just truly just opened mine for Christmas and
wow,
very happy. A good core purchase.
That's a good husband.
It's a good husband. We will keep him another year. He's renewed.
Yeah.
We have one more year.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, so you recommend the massager. I love that.
Napo,
$60. I know those things sometimes go on sale. Like you'll see like a little thing that's like an extra 10% off or like.
Especially now that it's post Christmas, I'm sure there's great deals.
For sure. But I'm glad to know that you like it. And it really does it can bring the pain if you want it to.
Yeah. No, it's good. Like you can seriously just sit there and it's very low effort and you're getting worked on. So
I like that.
It's great.
One of my favorite things about listening to Tough Sicilian Bitches, even though I've listened to every episode, now I not only rewatch New Jersey, but I re-listen to Tough Sicilian Bitches, is that, and Dan like yells at me. He's like, they can't hear you. Because sometimes I'll talk back to you guys. Like as
I love it.
And I'm like, and then they're going to say that Melania said, you know, get me pizza. And then they'll say, and Dan's like, how many times have you seen this show?
I love that.
But what is a scene from Jersey that doesn't get a lot? Because I have a bunch and I know we have some Real Housewives heads here. What is a scene from Real Housewives of New Jersey? And then maybe we'll do New York too, because I'd love to hear both. That is not a prostitution horror scene. It's not like a cultural turning point moment scene, but that's still a line, a moment, a delivery that just lives in your head rent free.
Okay.
Because I have one and I want to hear yours.
All right. I have two.
Okay.
Moments.
Great.
I think we quoted it a bunch on Tough Sicilian Bitches, but probably when Danielle said something like, and darkness will rain upon them. or when she and Danny Provenzano are in the parking lot for market provisions or whatever, she's like, I want to go to Panini.
Yeah.
And she's like afraid to go in.
Market
Basket Panini. And she's afraid to go inside this like shopping mall, like Italian market, because she's afraid someone's going to kill them.
She's afraid she's going to get whacked.
And then my other favorite moment is when Kathy Achille is riding her bike
to Corrado's.
And she looks like Maggie Smith in the prime of Gene Brody. Just like, it's like a fall day and she's just cruising down like the highway in a bike.
You just see
like the flickering amber light, New Jersey sunlight in the background.
And like there's like a honking and she like waves.
Yeah. Yeah, she like knows, everyone knows her. She's like, there's Mrs. Bakili. Those are the first ones that come to mind.
And she's also like on a beach cruiser. Like she's on a Schwinn. Yeah. Like it's not like a road bike. She's like on a beach bike.
She just has like cloaks on. She's sorry to report that the Wakilis are fully like QAnon people.
I know. It's so bad.
And Rosie.
I know. Rosie is
Rosie at the insurrection.
Rosie's gonna have to tweet, I was not at the Capitol. Before we started recording, when we were just checking levels, we were talking about how Whitney from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City just put up a story yesterday that was like, I just wanna let everyone know that I wasn't at the Capitol. And we were saying, you know, what does that say about you that you have to go on the horn and just like let everyone know? Like imagine if I tweeted, like, I just wanna get this out. I was not at the Capitol. I was not at the coup. I know a lot of you are wondering, but I didn't go.
Yeah, a lot of just so you know.
Yeah, just, I know, like, I usually don't share a lot about my private life, but I do want to tell you, I was not at the Capitol siege.
Yeah, and then it says, like, an E, like, slide of yeah. the AP photo. And Caroline Moss, I was not at the siege.
Yeah, I was. It was not me. Right, the E photos does, like, I was not there, and, like, bolds the word yeah. not, and then I get my own, I get my own Instagram. The things that from Jersey that live in my head rent free, the way that Jolie Kerr and I, which like I wish you guys were still doing Jersey, because I would love there to be like a New Jersey off where it's like you and Laura versus me and Jolie, because I feel like we could take you guys on.
Yeah, I think you guys would probably beat us.
There's,
to be honest,
depends on the season. I think depends on the moment. I think you guys have that Christmas arc where Melania is like doesn't believe that her grandma dressed up as Santa, and then Teresa like gets mad, gets mad at her. Hey! Yeah, hey, it's me, Melania.
Yeah,
I'm literally.
No, what the fuck are you doing? What are you wearing that for?
So,
hey,
Mara, it's me, Melania.
Melania is so much better. Yeah. Hey.
Hey, Mr. Pomodoro.
Yeah. Oh, Pomodoro. all right. What are yours?
Well, so this is just how Jolie and I talk to each other. But when Melissa first, so I have two, but I want to get this one out. When Melissa first introduces herself and her talking head, and she's wearing that like tap recital costume, it's like a pink sparkly corset. And mm-hmm. she goes, my name is Melissa Gorga. I'm married to my husband, Joe, 7 years. And so whenever I talk to Jolie, I always pick up the phone and say, hi, I'm Caroline Moss. I'm married to my husband, Dan, for 2 years. But my two favorite moments that live in my head rent-free constantly and that I say out loud and no one ever knows what I'm talking about is Melissa going into the grocery store with her entire family to do Thanksgiving shopping, and she's running off of her list. And she's like, Joe, she's like, we need sausage, hot and sweet. I need a turkey. I need lasagna. And Joe is like picking up things, and he gets 7 loaves of wheat bread and puts them in the cart. And Melissa goes, we don't eat wheat bread. And like makes him take them out. And then he's like, how about some pineapple? She's like, pineapple? We're here for Thanksgiving. Yeah,
we don't need that.
Like, he's her fourth child. And she's like, stop. Yeah. Like, stop mucking up.
Yeah.
And then the other one is just one line from Albie Manzo during one of the Christmas episodes where Caroline's like, I'm in my husband's clothes and I'm a mess, but I love it. And you hear Albie in the background going, I love grated cheese. It's kind of my thing. And it's like so annoying to me.
Also, yeah, that Caroline looking like
haggard,
like I got pimples on my face, wearing my husband's clothes. Don't fuck with me. Don't fuck with me on Christmas Eve. I would love to be at her house on Christmas Eve, though. But also when Albie's trying to hit on Alexa Rachel, and he's like, yo, you're a milkmaid because you want to drink milk. And then you just see Chris Manzo's just covers. He's just like, oh my God.
Context for non-New Jersey watchers. There is some weird collaboration between the Alexa Ray Joel PR committee and the Bravo PR team where they're like, okay, we'll just send the New Jersey cast to an Alexa Ray Joel like concert at some bar and call it like a thing.
Caroline's obsessed with like
being close to a Billy Joel spawn.
Yeah. She's like, you're both. You're all children of privilege. It's like this weird,
it's
like
so weird. It's so uncomfortable.
Medieval like arrangement.
Yeah.
It's so strange.
She's I think my son Albie should marry Alexa. They're both rich. They both come from rich families.
They come from privilege. there's a certain thing about kids who come from privilege. They just get each other. And then Albie's like trying to hit on her, and it's like the most fucking unbearable shit in the world.
Yes. Yes.
And Lauren's just sitting there just like, oh my God, I hate my
yeah. How much am I getting paid to be in this scene?
Lost child.
What you are witnessing right now is me truly like trying to now recreate an episode of Tough Sicilian Bitches with Carrie. Well, I am just such a
next
huge
time we do,
fan.
No, next time we do like a live show, you have to come on. And
I will march on stage.
Yeah,
invited or not.
No, you're gonna insurrection. No, you're gonna be a guest. But Ugh. Also from New York.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, what would live in my head rent free from New York? Oh God, there is a moment where so Dan will not watch. Dan likes Jersey and can tolerate it because it is like just so camp. But like watching Ramona Singer makes Dan visibly, physically uncomfortable. Like she's so rude to staff. She's so rude.
She's horrible.
She's horrible. She has like no filter. And she's always like, in all sincerity, like, I'm sorry, I called you a slut. Like she's miserable to watch. Like to the point where I was like, how about Ramona for like our new puppies coming soon? And we're like, oh, how about Ramona? She's like, he's like, no. Like we cannot name her Ramona. There is a moment where Ramona gets in a cab and starts berating the driver. And she's like, I need to go to like 147, like West 17th. So that's, and then he goes, okay. And she goes, so what avenues are between that? Is that between? Like, she's like testing him. And she's like, it's so deeply, like it's an exfoliation for the inside of my body because I feel like just like my spirit floats out of me and flies away.
It's horrible.
What's yours? It's horrible.
Well, probably when Alex McCord comes barreling down the stairs in Marrakesh. And you just hear off screen, you just hear like running down with her like all her like garments on, and she just to like go, what did you say? Is it Ramona upstairs or something? Like
someone's
crying. It's
Ramona's
Sonya
crying. Ramona is crying because Jill was like, you will never be a friend of mine.
Yeah, you will never be a friend of mine. And then Ramona goes,
right, is she lying?
They're Luann, Kelly, and Jill are getting, I think, like henna done or some kind of like.
Yeah, they're doing like done. They're doing something and appropriation.
Yeah, something like culturally inappropriate, and then you just hear, doo, 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 and then Luann goes, oh, that horrible sound. What is that? And then Alex comes out, and then Kelly just goes, shh, weird, and creepy, and she's actually right
for once.
Like Kelly, actually, like a salient moment for Kelly where she's like. She's like, stop, go backstairs, go downstairs. And she's totally like abusing Alex and like gaslighting her, but she's actually right in a lot of ways. But yes. It's like, she's like, you're being weird. You're being weird. You're
this, being is weird. This is creepy. This is creepy. This is
creepy behavior. But just hearing the and then maybe when
I love that.
Probably. That's one of the Berkshires episodes when you just see Luann smoking a cigarette through the screen door. Yeah. It feels very like August Osage County.
It is. Yeah, it is very, you know, we say like, yeah, moments that don't get like a lot of airtime. I think all of those are that. But like there, I mean, I know like, don't tell me about It's About Tom. It's About Tom is like on T-shirts across America. But there is something for that scene with Jules talking about how her dad might be dying. And Luann's like, Bethany called me a slut. And Jules is like, Luann, sometimes things are more important. Like, yeah. She's like, my dad is dying. And Luann's like, she was so mean
underrated.
To me.
Jules was underrated.
Jules was underrated. They should bring her back. I liked her. They didn't give enough time.
But yeah, I guess, and any of like that... there's so much. I mean, New York is like so far reaching. Anything with like Alex was great, or like just the old days,
or like Ramona talking about Brooklyn, like it's like a dirty rag.
Yeah, yeah. And meanwhile, they live in like probably a house today that would cost millions. But it was great. And then obviously, like Sonya saying, like, I partied with John. Yeah.
John's dead. It is.
Yeah.
Or being like, there's one Sonya scene in, I think, either season 6 or 7. And Ramona is like talking to her about something. It's like the one normal Ramona moment. But then Sonya's like off the, you know how they, every season they pick a character to like kind of like zing off the rails a little and then everyone just reacts. Sonya's like, I'm the biggest comedian you know in your life. I've been a comedian for 25 years. I've been on Broadway. Yeah. And Ramona's like, no, you haven't. Sonya, you know you had that, like, that is provably not true.
There's like moments where even Ramona has to be like, okay, Sonya, this isn't
good.
Real. Yeah.
You guys, if you liked even a shred of what we're talking about, like, you have to go listen to Sexy Unique Podcast. And it's just, I mean, Laura, I love you. I love every episode you've ever done. But for the purpose of this episode, scroll, and anytime Carrie is a guest, and especially going through Tough Sicilian Bitches or Housewives of Salt Lake City, it is some of the funniest, most calming content I've consumed for me, you know, because like Housewives is my safe space. So I thank you so much for your work and your service.
Thank you, Caroline. I'm moved.
Before we go, I need you to, you can pick any housewife from any city, from any era. If you were going to choose them, like choose your fighter, who do you pick?
To like kill for me?
I mean, everyone else has to go. You can save one. You can take one on the lifeboat.
Okay. I go straight for like the death.
Yeah, you're like, is someone doing murder? That would be Caroline. She'd whack them.
Doing the murders.
Don't come for my family. Do you want me to tell you mine while you think of yours?
Yes.
Shannon Bedore. Hands down, Orange County. She's woo-woo, so I feel like she could. I feel like I could use her on the West Coast, but she's got a little business with her. I could bring her to the East Coast.
That's a good one.
She's wild. She was brave enough to sort of put her, I think, very hard for her weight loss journey on TV. So I know she has a tough skin, and I'll let the rest of them sink. Shannon's coming on the boat with me.
That's a good one.
I love Shannon. I don't know. I'm a Shannon apologist. Someone the other day, I mean, as my friend, and we were joking, called me a rich Mormon woman apologist when we were talking about like the stances of the Salt Lake City women on a government coup, and I kind of had to step back and say maybe that is something I am. Tell me who you pick. I know you have like three circulating and you're trying to pick like the right one.
I have to say,
who is she?
It might be Karen Huger from Potomac.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
I was thinking either between them or Bethany.
No, Bethany can hold her own.
That's true.
Monetizing the sinking ship. She doesn't need to get on the lifeboat with us. She's fine. Karen or
Giselle.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And between the two of them?
And then I would have fun because they would just be like shitting on each other and like going after each other. So it'd be really fun to watch. And like I would get to like play both sides and like be caught in the middle.
I love that.
And I want to be like used against each other.
I love that.
Potomac has quickly became my favorite. Mm. And I just think that they're like, for me, they like epitomize housewives.
Yeah. Potomac is like, good, especially their reunions.
Yeah. And I just think Karen just is like just the right amount of detached from reality, but also like really funny and like just,
she's the Sonia in my mind. Like a good time gal.
And Giselle is just like, you know, also what I base a lot of times liking the way they treat their gays.
Mm.
Because a lot of the housewives treat their gays like they're like pets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like Giselle has, her best friend is a gay hairstylist who like, or a style, he doesn't always, some of her outfits are not, she's famously has terrible taste, but or terrible style.
Oh, good.
But she just, I don't know.
Yeah, they treat their
gay friends like they're humans.
I love that. Such a nice perk. It's so nice when people do that.
I love that too. But yeah, they're, but I'm not like, I'm also like, I love even the nightmare ones. I ride for, but I'd say one of those two.
That's a good one. That's a good one. And now it makes me rethink like, okay, do I really want Shannon? So now I'm just going to think on this. We'll have to have you come back.
Shannon's great.
Shannon is great. Shannon is the perfect. I like watching her. Like she's not boring, but she's cringy as much as you. She's so funny. She's very self-aware. It's very
self-absorbed.
Yeah, it's like an amazing, she's perfect for TV. Whereas some of them, like we said in the beginning about Salt Lake, like, you know, you start a new Housewives franchise. You come on to the Housewives franchise, you know, 11 or 12 years after they started. No, it's been like 15 years now. Like, you know what you're supposed to do. And I think a lot of them are performing. And I don't like that. I want you to come on and not know that you're ruining your life. That's fun for me.
Seeing Shannon and Tamra hold each other in the bus in Ireland while
Kelly Dodd. They were all mad at Kelly.
Yeah, and one of them looks like she's like exorcising a demon from her.
Yes, it's because Kelly said, "No wonder your daughter doesn't want to live with you." Which, that was a horrible thing to say. And then, and then Tamara's like, yeah. And Shannon's like, "Calm down." And Vicky's like,
Vicky,
deranged.
I have to say,
deranged.
I don't like. I obviously loathe what she's become.
Yeah,
and what she probably always was, mm-hmm. but. I miss the heyday of Vicky when she was like Vicky crying in Costa Rica in the jungle when in the rain mm-hmm. when she said, "Do you want to know something? You want to know something sad?" And they're all like, "What?" And she goes, "Someday we're all gonna be dead."
But she has a point.
She does have a point, but it was like that was such a perfect moment because it was like she's having a complete like existential breakdown
yes.
and. It's incredible.
Lisa Barlow gave me those vibes when they were at the Met Gala lunch at Miriam Cosby's house. And they were all going around and saying something vulnerable about themselves. And Lisa starts to cry and goes, "I just have a lot of big dreams for myself. That's hard to say sometimes." That's all
Lisa Barlow, she's great.
She's staying. She's staying. She's
totally staying.
Who do you think before we? I guess I was. That was I. The fighter question was going to be my last, but now I just have. This is my actual last question. Real okay. Housewives of Salt Lake City. Who is not coming back for season two? Who are they not bringing back?
Okay. Depending on what comes out about her church,
mm-hmm.
Mary might get axed.
Okay.
Which would be sad because she, even though she's. Clearly has some like deeply problematic things going on with like the way from what I've been reading about like what actually goes on in her church.
Yeah.
From like alleged dissidents.
Right.
Maybe her and yeah, or maybe honestly, wild card, maybe Meredith won't come back.
Interesting. And I would have thought Meredith would have yeah.
She doesn't do much for me.
Doesn't do much for me either. I also think she's Lisa half the time. So they need to work on that.
Yeah. She brought in her son and I think he was almost like she thought it would give her more personality in a way, but like
yeah.
Brooke sucks. And
yeah.
Meredith is like, she's glamorous and like very elegant and chic.
But that like, we've been here for 15 years in Housewivesville. That's not enough to keep you. We know that.
She had one moment in the last episode where she said, "I'm done engaging on the conversation."
Yes.
She was like blackout and that made me like her a little.
I love it. Well, I'm so excited to once again re-listen to Tough Sicilian Bitches as we enter what has been a very treacherous time in Los Angeles. We're not leaving our houses. I'm trying to find as many things that will calm me as possible. And right at the top of the list is Laura and Carrie imitating the voices of Danielle Staub and Teresa Giudice. Carrie, thank you so much for bringing the massager, for talking about Fabuloso. We're going to revisit our relationship with Pine Sol now. I'm so happy that you have been such a presence in my car radio and in my AirPods this time.
I'm happy too.
It's been wonderful.
It's a good substitute for not being able to see you a lot.
I know. It's almost, we moved here almost a year ago and I've seen no one, been nowhere, and have never even, I mean, maybe my next stop is the CVS on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and I expect to see you there.
Meet me there.
Tell everyone where they can follow you.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Icario.
That's Icario if you are familiar with Danielle Staub.
Icario and Sexy New Podcast. There's Patreon you can
yes.
listen to for $5 a month. Bonus episodes, new episodes each week.
Get yourselves to Hulu. Start watching from the beginning. You guys did season one of Jersey, right? Or did you start with season two?
Season two?
So start with season two. You don't need season one. It goes a little slow. Prostitution whore, you've been engaged 19 times.
Yeah.
Start with season two. Revisit the podcast. You'll be laughing in a minute. Carrie, thank you for coming. You guys, we will
Caroline.
See you. Yes.
Caroline? No.
Carrie and Caroline, just talking about the housewives. We'll see you guys next week for another episode of Things Just Bought It.